see it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And here we are tonight, Watching for Jesus Bible Study. Welcome. Thank you all for dropping by. I brought the cakes and the cookies and the tea. Oh, that's right. I don't get that here. I had to go out and get mine. Welcome to the Bible study for tonight, Watching for Jesus. My name is Thomas Gambill. On this 25th of February, 2014, welcome. You know, earlier today in my broadcast, I wasn't sure where that broadcast was going to go. I really didn't know. That's how it goes for about all my broadcasts and Bible studies. Tonight I have an idea what I'm going to talk about, but I literally let the Holy Spirit lead me. I get an idea and I just put it together as I go along. I got all sorts of sources and so forth, but just kind of put it all together when I start talking. I'm going to reveal tomorrow on a broadcast that will tie in closely with the broadcast today. I showed how, you know, the political situation, the dictatorship's been set up all along with evidence and testimony. And that... so forth. I'm not going to go into it tonight, of course, but tomorrow I'm going to present a strong case for how our troops are being led to be suicided on purpose by the very people that we've been serving under. And tonight, I'm going to talk about victory over their leader. We're talking about the human factor. It's been misled, and here we go. So tonight, I want to talk about the leader, their leader. It's not Jews. It's not Muslims. It's not Illuminati. All these are human servers and servants, slaves of the supernatural, Satan. People are afraid to accept the truth about God. So they make up their own gospel. I know there's Baptists, there's Methodists, and all kinds. It doesn't matter what religion anymore. It really doesn't. That say that evolution, you have Christians, quote-unquote Christians, that say that God used evolution. You've got Christians that say that God used genetics. Are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. I go to church or I'm blah, 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 whatever. They make up something. But I think God used genetics to do it. I think God used evolution. God made the meteorite hit the earth and anything they can, anything to stay away from the precepts, the scriptures, the truth that's contained in the King James Bible. At all costs, trying to find some way I can get around it. You know, I tried that myself many, many, many years ago in the divorcing period that I was going through. I have to say it like that. It was like 10 or 12 years of just insanity in my life. But the point of the matter, I'm not going into all that, but I don't mind. I mean, I'm open about whatever I've done. If it helps somebody else to say, well, gosh, he's experienced the same thing. But I was divorced to remarry, and I tried everything I could between the second and third marriage, everything I could to somehow justify what I was doing. That marrying again was okay, and I was searching for it in the Bible. Well, it is okay, but there's some things people have to know about that. But of course, the Catholic Church goes to annulment and all that sort of thing, but the point of the matter I'm making is I was looking for scripture to support my desires. Without learning to work with the Word of God? No. I was trying to find a way to justify divorce and remarriage and so forth. So we all try to find a way that I can manipulate the Bible to support what I want to do. You know, twist it around a little bit. That seems to be the trick. Well, we can't do that. The Bible rules us. The Bible is doctrine. And if you have a Harvard professor, Yale, Stanford, it doesn't matter which college it is, Wake Forest, or you just name a college, doesn't matter. And they're a doctorate, they're a professor of theology, and they got degrees and all this, that, and the other. That doesn't mean a thing. They're hoping the degrees of status will actually wow you into believing what they got to say. When you learn the truth that all the colleges in America, as I've proven many times and showed you by quotes and dates and times and places, names, that every college in America, literally, this is huge, every college, I mean literally every college, with design, is controlled by humanism. Even the public schools. I've got the quotes and everything about it. I mean, this, I don't know if I'm telling you or telling myself. This is amazing. Every college and university is a school of secular humanism and Marxism. How many Americans don't have a clue about that? And teachers are quiet about it. So why am I telling you this? Because that is the way Satan is controlling education, philosophy, everything. It's based on their secular humanism. Buddhism, Hinduism, every single ism. So to get victory over Satan, you got to know his techniques. You got to know, kind of get an idea of where he is in your way so you can live the Christian life. You see, you got to know your ambushes. You see, and I'm telling you right now, the preachers, rabbis, and priests aren't helping at all. Matter of fact, you got some out there, yeah. But boy, I tell you what, that number is few and far between. One of the last great ones was David Wilkerson. And his death is very questionable. Matter of fact, it's more than likely he was murdered. When you look at the evidence and you look at the reports and so forth. He would not bow down to them like Billy Graham and all the rest have bowed down for decades. I can say that and not blink an eye. It's all coming out now anyway. Controlled by the Freemasons, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Jesuits. This is how Satan controls from the inside. So if you know it's from the inside, you have to go to the Holy Spirit to help you. To achieve victory over an enemy, you got to know how the enemy operates. Dedicate the broadcast, and let's talk about that tonight. On having victory over Satan. And how far we get along, it depends. We'll talk about how to live the Christian life. And one of the most important subjects I want to cover later on this week is consecration. That's extremely important. It goes hand in hand with living the Christian life. And this is not being taught in the pulpits. Almost at all. Not at all. I got a list. I mean, I found a list of about 30-some different ways that the preachers are trained to keep you from living the Christian life very subtly. That's correct. You actually have Jesuits trained to be Baptist ministers. You have Jesuits trained to be Methodist, Presbyterian priests, and they're Jesuits. And their purpose is to mislead you on by design. This is huge. This is amazing stuff. I mean, what's going on today? It just boggles my mind every time I learn something new about it. How Satan has infiltrated into our lives. So we need to dissect that. And that's what I intend to do. Spiritual warfare is the number one way of defeating Satan. But see, Satan's defeat was at the cross of Calvary. Without that, we would have no chance. That's very important, I'd say. Sacrifice of Jesus. When it says save the world, we use that sometimes in a Bible study cliche. Jesus saved the world. But what does that really mean? The impact of what he did is just... it is mind-boggling. Lord, we come before you tonight in the name of your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have again to have a Bible study. We can come together. Lord, we pray for you to open up our hearts, our minds, and Father, to lead us tonight. And your Holy Spirit to join us, Father, to be with us and guide us along. Lord, forgive us of our sins. We lay them before you, Lord, that when you forgive them, that, Father, the Holy Spirit will dwell within us and guide us in the right path. We pray for those around us, acquaintances, family, friends. And, Lord, we pray for miracles of healing, miracles of mind changes and changes of heart to soften hearts so that those divine appointments will lead someone to Jesus Christ. Lord, to keep us always mindful of your sacrifice. And Father, nevertheless forget that sometimes we get busy, that sometimes, Father, we kind of lose track. And Father, conviction, we thank you for the conviction. When we stray, that you put us back on track. Father, we thank you for the Holy Bible, the King James Bible, that guides us on our way. These things we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Why would that say, why would this prayer say, thy will be done in earth? Knowing this is the perfect, inerrant word of God, every word's perfect. God made sure. He guided Moses, talked to him. He guided the disciples, the prophets, what to write, who were obedient to God. He hid the word of God from Antioch to the Alps, brought it back out again with King James. Probably one of the only benevolent governments in the history of man, was during the time that his book was going to be written or translated, transcribed. And God guided the 47 translators. Why would this say, thy will be done in earth? In earth. Why not on earth? Why in earth? Everything in earth encompasses the atmosphere and everything below it. In earth is like a ball, like a sphere. So you got the birds that's in the air, you got the highest level where that we are able to survive. That would be in the earth. We think of in the earth as in the middle of the earth. No, that's under the earth. In the earth encompasses the atmosphere as well. Because we're like a ball, a sphere, inside the sphere. What are your weapons? The weapons that you have is the full armor of God for a daily and eternal love relationship with Jesus Christ. And what are those? Well, we pray for each piece. The belt of truth. And what's that mean exactly? He shows us the truth about ourselves, our plans and our ways. He reminds us that he is the only God, the creator of heaven and earth. He is the king of the universe. He loves you, and he's the shepherd who leads you. He's the wisdom, the counselor, the hope, and he is your strength. And this is daily. It's the belt of truth, what the truth really is. The other is a breastplate of righteousness. The belt of truth is knowing about him. But the breastplate of righteousness is about ourselves. On our own, we could never be good enough to live in the presence of Almighty God. One lie will separate you from him. But I don't think people realize that we're so lenient. We even got lies color-coded. You know, we got lies color-coded. Oh, that's just a white lie. Come on. Man, only took a dollar. I mean, come on. What? Come on now, man. What's the problem? I give it back to you. No, it don't work that way. I don't think people realize. God was serious when he sent his only begotten son down. He's serious about sin. He took our sins on the cross of Calvary. He offered us his perfect righteous life on this earth. The angels that sinned before and after the flood, they crave the five senses, the physical experience of being on earth. Job 38:7. when God set the foundations of the earth, stars in heaven sang and the sons of God shouted for joy. Sons of God were in the universe, but they shouted for joy when the earth was created as a physical experience. Once you acknowledge sins, freely acknowledge sins, it's the same thing as saying your pride's, you've gotten rid of your pride, you've humbled yourself before God and just Him. And He knows if you acknowledge that, that's the first step to wisdom. What's everybody doing today? They like magic tricks. It's like seeing alchemy. Wow, ooh, ooh, wow, ooh. Satan's telling God, I can develop something stronger than you can with my knowledge. You have flesh that you've created? Well, I can improve on it with metal. Heavy metal. Metal. Uh-huh. My metal will beat your flesh any day. I guess it's never heard of rust. Heavy metal. Metal to flesh. Satan only sees the outer. He don't see the inner, apparently. Sin causes us to fall away. If you can't remember sin, even ask God to remind you. And He just may do that. It's your confession. And not in some telephone booth to a priest and come out like Superman. And no some booth and and confessing your sin to some man who's probably a sinner himself. And you expect him to pray for you? That's not going to happen. And rosary beads, I can't believe this. Rosary beads, plastic or metal, is not going to help you none. You might as well take a rabbit's foot. And Mary is up there in heaven, but you can't pray to her because she's not divine. Blessed? Yeah. Divine? No. She didn't die on a cross for our sins. Jesus did. And you put on the sandals of peace. It's the peace that He gives us when we trust and follow Him. And shows how to help others find that peace. We trust and follow Him. How to help others. Maybe it put a bad light on me, but I have to admit that in my days before I was born again, I never told falsehoods or lies in my work, but I did in my personal life. I took my personal life secondary to my career in the Marine Corps and all that. So telling a lie and adultery and all this was, I've been there. Here's my point. When you tell a lie, it's a burden on you. You're always holding your breath that nobody figures it out. Someone asks you a question. You know, you said last week, you tighten up and your breathing stops. You sweat. You change the subject. You zigzag worse than an NFL fullback. Trying to zigzag the questions and change the subject. Little tricks you're always playing to try to avoid having to tell the truth. The burden of that, once I become born again in 83, the burden was lifted. And I can tell you without a doubt, it's like a 100-pound pack taken off your back. All I got to worry about now is my memory. Someone asked me, you told me, well, let me try to remember it. But the nag of being caught or the nag of trying to mess over somebody, it's not worth it. It's not even remotely worth it just for survival. I've experienced it, and it's just terrible. It's absolutely terrible. You know, so I went from one extreme to the other, though. I'm the extreme now. If you don't want to know, don't ask, because I'll tell you. You know. But once you get there, you can't, the Holy Spirit will convict you every time you start to tell a lie. So I couldn't ever say to someone there's a Santa Claus. I can't do it because there isn't one. Tooth fairy, I know, or whatever kind of lie, don't matter. There's no color code of lie. A lie is a lie. It's either truth or it's not truth. End of story. There's no middle ground. And I'm a witness for this. I'll tell you that right now. And I'll never give up this piece. The shield of faith. To have faith in God. To have faith in Jesus. To know He died on the cross for our sins. To be able to count on everything He said. Everything He's promised. He will put you through trials and tribulations. That's to strengthen you up. Keep you vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, goes around like a roaring lion. The helmet of salvation. He promises salvation both for today's battles and for all eternity. But to say in the words of the sinner's prayer doesn't get it. It's like getting married or something like that. You go up and you start repeating what the preacher tells you. And you say, well, yeah, I do take, he'd be my wife. Okay, what's the next thing? Preacher, come on. That's not real sincere. And let me tell you something. They're going to know it too. It's like saying your vows at a marriage. Same thing. Have the sinner's prayer and just say the words, it's not going to get it. You got to mean it. And when you mean it, and you've been a sinner most of your life, I'm going to tell you something. Those tears are going to come, buddy. If you're a macho kind of professional wrestler or Marine or SEAL or, I don't know, truck driver, whatever you are, you're a macho guy going down here. And you find the day, the time that the divine appointment set up that He just catches it at the right time. He has a way of doing that, you know. And you start confessing your sins, man, He's going to take you to your knees because He sure did me one night. I'm going to tell you that right now. They almost had to hold me up because I'd come to repentance that night and I was in Okinawa, Japan, 1983. Two marriages behind me. Loads of affairs and lies. And boy, they hit me that night like a ton of bricks. So, helmet of salvation for today's battles and all eternity. Last but not least, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. To cut through the deceptions and gain a victory in any battle you may face today. And boy, you got it coming. It's coming our way. Right now, this is practice. Strictly practice. Super Bowl's coming. When? Don't know. The broadcast I did today, and actually yesterday, today I think really the point of the matter, today's broadcast, wasn't a history lesson, those that attended my broadcast this afternoon, of showing you the dictatorships that was set up by almost every one of our presidents, every one of them traitors, working for Lucifer. I mean this literally, as evidence shows with their own words. that it's not about a country or patriotism or any of those idols. This is about Jesus Christ and victory over the supernatural that's pushing the envelope against us, up close and personal. The patriotism and sovereignty and all this stuff and Pledge of Allegiance and all that's an idol. Because in God's kingdom, you're not going to have different countries. It's only when he's not a respecter of persons. We're not going to glorify other humans or other ones there. We're going to love each other, but there'll be total peace. But we glorify God in what we do. Not some preacher that you've known for 20 years, not some church because you're stuck there. I'm not necessarily a hoarder, but I hoard stuff to a certain extent. It comes from the South, I don't know. I just kept stuff. I got rid of these trophies I used to have, about 30 of them. That was the biggest thing I ever did, was throw them away. I said, wow, I don't need those stupid things. These are idols. Hold on for what? 20, 30-year-old trophies? So what? I just threw the darn things away. I got some other stuff I got to get rid of. I mean, it's like we hold on to the past, or we have an idol. Material things. When you die, when you were born, you came in with nothing except your nakedness and hungry. And when you leave, what happens to everything? Where's it going to go? What are they going to do with it? Do you care about it anymore? No, you don't care about it anymore. I keep all this stuff I got around me till the day I die. If I die tomorrow, what's going to happen to it? You know, you say, for example, I get this special pen. Oh, I don't right in front of me, but say this pen is special because somebody special gave it to him and been holding on to it. Well, when that pen's on my desk, I say, well, what's Tom got? I don't know. It's this old pen. What is this pen? I don't know. It don't mean a thing to them. You see? You might have a doodad or a necklace thing or I don't know, whatever. Some little thing you got up on the wall. That means something to you. That don't anymore. Somebody gonna look at it. What's that stupid looking thing? I don't know. It's some kind of weird looking glass. Oh, let's pack it up and put it away. It don't mean a thing to them. Everything physical is gonna go away. What about spiritual? It's all idols. Hang on to them. Then they hang on to you. That's the hardest thing I ever had to say, and I realized it one day, fairly recently, actually. And it's my conditioning of my being a Marine and being American and all this and all that, to say that sovereignty, whew, and patriotism, yeah, are idols to hold me back. What are you talking about? It's the kind of response I get for myself. That's rough, but it's true. I can do a side note here, though. The reason they're trying to get rid of sovereignty right now, the Illuminist, so they'll have something to replace it. That's the problem there, you see. When you got one idol, you go to another one. They use idols. God has salvation. Big difference. In Ephesians, says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And that doesn't say Christ Yeshua. It don't say Christ Yeshua. If you speak only Hebrew, you may use those words, I suppose. If you speak Chinese, Cantonese, you'll speak Yasu. Jesus is the same Jesus in the King James Bible. See, what they're trying to do is change that name Jesus to Yeshua worldwide. You know why? Real quick. Yeah, because that's the name that Sanan Emmanuel, the fallen angel, is going to use when this boy makes his first public appearance. That's the trick they're trying to use. They get us all saying the Hebrew name Yeshua. And the Jews at the highest level, the Zionists, which aren't even Jews anyway, they don't want anybody connecting these dots. Every time I bring this up on some of those websites, every time, this one subject matter about Sananda, Yeshua, and Jesus, I get banned every time, immediately. They don't want to start making that connection because they believe their Messiah is here, and it's not Jesus. It looks like the Jesus we think it looks like. That's not Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There's another shocker right there. Some of these high-level Zionists, they know this. Y'all be ready for it now. Because a great deception is coming, that even the very elect will be deceived if that was possible. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. Says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I see how this is panning out now. Wow, that works. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on a breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So I'll sort of give you an example of that verse instead of making it kind of like, you know, you need to know the details of what that really means. The key verse is Revelation 12, 11. Revelation 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Day is coming that you may have to choose between children, wife, and husband. That's why it says in there in Matthew 10, 33 to 42, not to love husband or wife or children or whatever more than him. Because they're going to use them to have you renounce Jesus Christ. This is going to be the worst case. The Christian life, as I've been saying ever since my broadcasting has been going on, I use the terms from a military point of view, that when you were born, you landed in a hot landing zone, a hot LZ, the day you're born. The Christian life is a life of warfare. We are called to be good soldiers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But some of these folks are taking it to another level, that you have to go out literally and buy yourself an assault weapon. That's what this one named General Boykin is telling everybody. It's what Jesus would do, bloodstained with the blood of his enemies. And he'd come back with AR-15. I can't believe a responsible former general, Knights of Malta, would say such a thing in public. It just boggles my mind. It's almost like Walt Disney. It's like mocking God that painting that Michelangelo, he's an Illuminati, Michelangelo, that ridiculous painting he's got in the Sistine Chapel showing a gray-haired old man, half-clothed, touching the finger of Adam. It's heresy. I don't know about his God, but my God's a whole lot bigger than that. He didn't touch no finger. He created from nothing by his word of mouth, by his word. His words put Adam together. And he's representing my God, the real God of this universe, as a half-clothed old man with a white beard is ridiculous. That's how they demean and mock God. The reason that Christian life is warfare is that we have a terrible enemy who seeks to destroy us. That enemy is Satan. So you go to 1 Peter 5 verse 8. Says it, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So our enemy is Satan, supernatural, and his demons, fallen angels. And you know that originally, Satan, he was originally created as a beautiful and wise angel named Lucifer. He had 9 stones somehow on his body. I don't understand supernaturally how that works, but he did. The 9 stones represented the 9 level angels. The same praises, each stone represented kind of like MP3 player, a better way to describe it. Each level of angel, the praise would be collected in those stones. You see, crystals do that. Do I have a little lights and bells going off here? Crystals absorbs. It's kind of like a house for demonic activity. Crystals in your computer. Crystals in electronics. Crystals like homes. You see, demons are specks of light. That's all they are. Energy. But light, specks of light. That's all they are. 1,000 points of light. It all comes together. And the orbs that people go ooh-ah about, they're nothing more than fallen angels flying around, trying to find a place to land. They must always keep moving. You see the sparkly like a disco ball. Because they're changing frequencies. They can't stop for a minute. Or they'll end up in the abyss. That takes a lot of energy to pull them out of it. This is alchemy I'm talking about. I'm not going to go into detail. It's not necessary. But in heaven, Satan had 9 stones on him. He's a beautiful, wise angel named Lucifer at the time, but pride entered his heart. He rebelled against God, and many of the angels of heaven followed with him. There's discussion, debate about when it actually happened, but it certainly happened before the creation of the earth. And unlike what Arnold Murray and Herbert Armstrong and the rest of them say, we're not angels that came here to live on earth in a trial basis. Goodness gracious. We're not former angels. Satan is called the prince of this power of the air. He and his fallen angels inhabit the atmosphere above the earth. You can't see them. Satan and his fallen angels are the real enemies of the child of God. If you go to Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I want to do a study. I mean, I've got one done. I want to do it on the air again. I only covered it one time, I think, in my few years, about describe to you what it really is meant about principalities. There's a lot to that. We read it, it's a cliche in church, you know, principalities and powers of darkness. Well, what the dickens principalities are? What are they? What do they mean exactly? What does the Bible mean when it says principalities? I'll talk about that later on. Not today, though. See, Satan's object, using his demons, is interconnected. See, it's not like, as humans, we have our own individual Satan that's assigned to us. You got your Satan? Yeah, I got my Satan. Just bother me. How about your Satan? Yeah, I got him on. No. They're demons that's attached to you, that's assigned to you to demonize you. God forbid if you're possessed. That's another step. Being demonized is not being possessed. Oh, they're different. Can a Christian be demonized? Yeah. Can a Christian be possessed? No. Unless he's a Christian, not born again. Yes. Can be possessed. Big difference. Evil cannot reside with good. You have Luciferians that pretend to be Christian, like Jonathan Click and several others, that say duality. There's no duality. It's a lie. We're not the abomination. And we're not the temple that's talking about. The temple's, you got so close they come to. Watch these people. Because they deviate the scriptures just enough to throw you off track. By design, not accidental and not a mistake. See, Satan's object is he connects to all his demons. It's like a cloud of energy. It's a supernatural thing going on. So it's not like Satan's and everybody's attacking everybody at one time. It's the demons. It's connected. It's all connected. Satan will deceive people by making them think that all supernatural occurrences come from God. I had the snow that we fell. That's another story. I'm going there with that. But the snow that is very unusual here in Mount Airy. Actually had some fellows that came by to fix the roof and whatever. One of them said that the snow was unusual and it was God's plan. I said, oh, no. Now, one of the guys there, he knew about HAARP and he knew about that. And the other one didn't know about HAARP. Those as fundamental Christians think that God is the only one that controls the weather. And no. Satan is prince of the power of the air. That means something. God allows him. He can manipulate the weather. And then when they have scientific knowledge now, it's even more so. The rain dancing. See, they, back in those days, the rain dancing was conjuring up demonic entities that would bring rain. Because Satan is prince of power of the air. He can manipulate it with electromagnetic energy and cause rain to fall. Now, what they've done with technology is to copy the powers of the demons with technology. All it is manipulation of energy with certain frequency levels that they identify. You see what they've done? So being targeted by ELF transmissions, all that stuff, is the same thing as being demonized by a demon. And when you got both of them working against you, you got a problem. Drugs open up the portals. You see how they do this? Man, people only knew how this worked. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. By the way, those that's listening, you'll understand what I mean tomorrow when you hear about it. But they synthesized demonic activity with technology. You know about technology, don't you? Do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There you go. God never intended for us to have technology. We're to love each other. We're given gifts and to walk with him in the garden, matter of speaking. That was what our lives were all supposed to be about. So all these things happening, see, a lot of these forest fires, the major ones, are caused by shaman doing ritual. They think about a spark from a campfire, whatever. No. These are being set on purpose for portals, open up portals, disasters. It's designed. But all miracles do not come from God. Satan and his evil spirits can do many miraculous things that are beyond the power of men. When they add technology to it, you got some things going on here. Jesus said that false prophets will come in the last days and deceive many people with great signs and wonders. Don't it just amaze you how smart these guys were back then? How did they figure all this stuff out by themselves? They didn't. Holy Spirit guided them. Satan is very clever. Very clever. In the last days, when it happens, those are going to go before God in judgment. And in Matthew 7, 21 to 23, says in King James Bible.
Discover card? Hey, so I'm looking at my bill and my FICO credit score is on here.
Yeah, you've got our Discover It card, so you get your FICO score and your monthly statements now for free.
That's nice of you.
It's a great way to stay on top of your credit and make sure things look the way they should.
Jeez, where'd that come from? Boy, what happened there?
Credit score.
I don't know what happened on that, where that thing came from. Anyway, he's going to say to people, when they come to him, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now you've heard this read before. So where's this come from? What's that really saying? Do you think that God made the mistake of giving them this ability to do that and then them turn on him? No. So what happened? These abilities that they have didn't come from God. It was given to them by Satan. Satan allows them to prophesy. Some degree of accuracy and sometimes not, you see. And casting out devils. Alberto Rivera talks about how the priest cast out demons. Is that there's a cooperation. They cooperate with each other. Same thing with medicine men. Same thing with voodoo. Evil can cast out evil in order to give power to that one that's casting it out. So medicine man, voodoo witch doctor, or a priest that's cast out a demon, because the Catholic Church is not under God. There's no way. It calls himself as God in the catechism. So when they cast out demons, there's a collaboration there. I cast you out, and it gives the priest of the others that power. That, wow, see what he did? Yeah, wow. You see what the medicine man did? He brought rain. Who you worship, medicine man? Or the rain dance? Where's God in all this? Not there. That's what it's talking about here. Because these are miracles that's not coming from God. And doing works doesn't get you there either. That's how Satan works. We hang on to religion and not God. We hang on to the minister, the priest, or the pope, or our idol, or whatever. Well, where's Jesus in all this? He's not there. We need to hang on. If people would only just switch it all around and defend Jesus in their name instead of a religion or a country or whatever, that'd be a whole lot different. Satan's object is to destroy people. The Lord Jesus said it's a murderer from the beginning, and Satan has many ways of destroying people. But his main weapons are deceit and lies. Satan deceives people by making them think that all supernatural occurrences come from God. You see? He blames God on the earthquakes. People blame God like Pat Robinson, 33rd degree Mason. God brought the tsunami on Philippine Islands because they... No, he didn't. He may have allowed it. He didn't do it. People will say, well, we sinned. Satan did it to us because God allowed it because we sinned. They don't say that. And all miracles don't come from God. Satan and his evil spirits can do many miraculous things that are beyond the power of men. Jesus said that false prophets will come in the last days and deceive many people with great signs and wonders. Let's be specific. Specific is, have nothing to do with Ouija boards. Let me show you how sneaky they are. You can look it up right now. Ouija board. A pink one. They got a pink Ouija board. Now, how dangerous can a pink Ouija board be? Oh, look at little Martha there. She's playing with her pink Ouija board. Isn't that cute? Yeah. Why is it moving? I don't know. It's moving, isn't it, honey? Yeah, it's moving. Moving by itself. Yeah. Then about a week later, 2 weeks later, little Martha is wearing black nail polish and wearing a black dress or something or another or whatever. And she gets a little tattoo she buys at the store. Mom, I'm going to have a tattoo. Then she starts doing funny things with her hair, wearing pentagrams. Before you know it, oh boy. That's what happens. You will find, if you do research, Ouija boards connected with children suicides. Now, let me show you a trick they're going to play. If they get kids involved in the occult, and they have international rights to the child, and then they bring in, like they have in Oregon and Belgium, as they're moving toward euthanasia for children, that's a deadly mix. Because you can't stop your child from committing suicide legally. I know what these suckers are up to. Let that soak in. Ouija boards, table lifting, seances, fortune telling, astrology, witchcraft. These things belong to the kingdom of darkness. These are the knowledge of good and evil. These things I tell you. You know that the Ouija board is 600 years old or more? It's real and it works. Witchcraft goes back to Nimrod. Freemasons at the highest level, they're taught alchemy. That's why they're Masons at the highest level. They don't let them know this till after 32nd degree. That the big secret is they worship Lucifer. And so what pulls them in is ego, benefits, favorite parking places, contracts being signed, golf. That's not all. By the supernatural experiences they have, they believe it to be divine. Look what I can do. Whoa. The ego and pride pulls in. They're being lied to. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. I have taken it to an extreme in my life. I said, well, if I'm going to live it, I might as well live it and live it the fullest. I like fortune cookies. I like cookies. I do not read the fortune. I trash it. I don't even look at it. I do the same thing with the horoscopes. I don't even look at them. I go through them. I used to read them. Oh, that's cute. Oh, that's really, wow, that's amazing. Honey, what you got? A lot of moms will say, I don't do none of that anymore at all. I don't read none of the fortunes, none of the horoscopes. Because family, let me tell you something about that. They can come true. Because when you look at it, you think, oh, I'm giving permission. When I play the Ouija board, I'm giving permission. That's when God steps away. And guess who fills the vacuum? Ho ho. And guess who can make it come true? When you get I'm not going over the edge here. This is what happens. A rabbit's foot. Now, the rabbit's foot, nobody dug on rabbit's foot. It's not the rabbit foot itself. It's your will, your belief in something other than the Holy Spirit that's going to get you through whatever. And you hold the rabbit's foot, and you sit there, oh, I want my Mercedes Benz, I want my Mercedes Benz. Heck, if I ever got one of those, I'd sell the darn thing anyway and buy me an older car. But in any case, and you hold that rabbit's foot, it's not the rabbit's foot. It's my spirit, my heart, wishing for something to happen that's not in the Bible. On this object, it means nothing, but the supernatural forces, a lot of times, will cause this to happen. To give it credence to take you away from Jesus. You say, wow, Dad, you're going to give me a, what, a car? God, this rabbit foot works. That will become your idol. You wouldn't part with that thing till you're 60, 70 years old. That goes back to your idols. That's what it does. Whatever it takes to get you away from Jesus. In the same way, now look it up while I'm talking right now about Ouija boards causing suicides. Because when that little guy that your children meet or adults meet on the Ouija board, and you will, by you giving permission, draws demons to you, and they won't leave neither. You have to be delivered. That's another step. Well, here's what happens. After a period of time, when they've sucked you in there, that's how Satan works, even with human beings. They show you all the nice parts. Then when they got you, they switch on you. That's how Satan works. Well, you'll find cases upon case upon case of where it starts off innocent enough that the entity will even have a name, or two, or three, or four. And now they're there. They're not going to leave. That means at that point you have to be delivered. You have to deliver and bless that house. And you got to go through a whole new process. That's a whole different ballgame. Because they're there. But what's going to happen is when they're tired of playing around, they're going to drive your child or you or whatever to suicide. Drugs, whatever. For destruction. That's what happens. Look it up on your own. Don't take my word for it. But if you've got those things in your house, and the same thing goes for Freemasonry, rings, doodads, knickknacks, man, you got to get rid of that stuff. Satan hinders the work of God. And when the gospel is preached, Satan is there to spread doubt and unbelief in the minds of those who hear it. Again, you've heard me talk about this ELF transmission. When they target an individual, 6.6 hertz causes depression. 10.6 hertz and above to 11 hertz causes anxiety. Road rage behavior. The average human resonance of a frequency of the earth as you're in it is like 7.82. Here's my point. The demons, when they come inside you, affects the frequency of your body. Synthetically, when they target you with a microchip and deliver 6.6 hertz to that target of the individual, the house, the town, the city, the state, it causes depression. Family, they have synthesized demonic activity. That's how Satan works. So in technology, they've made it synthetic to what the demons already do. And they put thoughts in people's heads. And it sounds crazy saying that. But actually, it's true. Voice-to-skull technology is what it's called. Look it up. Satan oppresses Christians. He puts the thoughts of doubt and fear, discouragement into the minds. How does it do that? When they come inside or demonized, they exert 6.6 hertz. Now you see what I'm talking about. Lust has its own frequency, vibration. Gluttony has its own frequency of vibration. And it matches it. But you experience it as emotion. Satan tempts Christians to commit terrible sins. He tries to deceive them into thinking that it wouldn't be wrong to do it. You can justify it in the end. So you start thinking those things. This is what tribulation and this is what the conviction does, is to override this, what Satan does. Family, I'm not talking about philosophy. I'm talking about real life physics, quantum physics, biology. This is for real. So many people don't understand this as spiritual warfare. He uses the things of the world to turn their hearts away from God and doing His will. So he tries to keep them from making a full surrender to the lives of God. It's what the preachers are doing. In a lot of these churches, don't matter about the religion. What do they do? Come, my child. We'll come out under the tree, the coconut tree. We'll cross our legs together. Oh, you can't? No. Okay, well, don't worry. You just put your feet together. And hum with me. We'll all hum together. Ready? Everybody hum. Well, this om thing going on is vibration. It helps open up portals to your body, allowing you to be possessed. And that demon comes inside. He resides there very quietly till he's needed. And you won't even know it. That's why they have Christian yoga. You're not going to like this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. In alchemy, colors like purple is very powerful. A vibration. Black and white, like checkerboard floor, that causes a vibration of sort about good and evil. It helps possession. That's why they have it in the Freemasons' lodge upon initiation, and they don't know it. A portal is created between the two towers of Boaz and Jachin. The colors, okay, now, the sun is radiation. Colors of stained glass windows and the sun radiation going through it is what I call demon surfing. In other words, it opens up a portal in those churches. That's why the color is up high. It allows demons to come inside. That's how the demons do it. Bet you never heard that before. It's color alchemy. It's quantum physics. It opens up a portal. The radiation of the sun coming through particular colors allows certain demons to come in to that building from the second heaven. Well, why did Jesus Christ come in the first place? He came in this world to destroy the works of the devil, as prophesied 365 times in the Old Testament. And he fulfilled every one of them, except for the ones at the end for the revelation. That's yet to happen. And he will fulfill those as well. Well, 1 John 3, verse 8. In 1 John... He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning, and for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's pretty clear. You know, the cross is a place that's where Jesus Christ redeemed men from the powers of Satan. Satan held men captive because of sin. Those things keep us tied down. But on the cross, the Lord Jesus paid for our sins. He gave up his physical life, the one thing that fallen angels crave, the demons crave. You know what the demons are? The demons are the disembodied spirits of the physical abominations before the flood, the Nephilim. They couldn't be with God because they were abominations, because of corrupt DNA. They're telling us today in these recently that some of these reports and so-called truth tellers are saying, oh, we've done studies and scientists have figured out or something that all of mankind is corrupt DNA with Nephilim DNA. You all read that nonsense? So everybody's worried about, I got an RH negative. Oh, gosh, I'm going to hell for sure. Uh-huh. You see what he's doing to everybody? You start believing that mess, and you find out you got RH negative blood. I'm bound for hell anyway. I better get a blood transfusion. Where's God in all this? He's not there. Other thing is they want everybody to get checked too. They want to try to find out blood type, catalog blood type. They want to try to find the 144,000 that's going to come up. They're coming up. They know it too. They want to find that bloodline. That's the ones that Hitler, they want Hitler to kill off. He failed in doing it. 144,000, they're coming. And that's the Hebrew Jews, the Hebrew Israelites, the real Hebrew Israelites, not the fake ones they got in Israel today. The real ones. They want to stop them. The tribe of Dan wants to stop them. They'll never accomplish it, ever, until the mid-tribulation. And the 144,000, 12 tribes, they're going to come out of the woodwork. Hello, we're here. And the two witnesses, too. Just in time for God's wrath in the last seven trumpets. And they're trying like a Dickens to get rid of that, try to make it go away. It'll never happen. They want to cause fear in everybody. So when you got RH negative blood, you're going to be bothered about it. Now I say pooey. Because God is much stronger than any of that, and all that's fear anyway. That's the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim or the demons. And boy, they're wanting bodies awful bad. Now you got the point? Satan holds men captive because of sin, right? But on the cross, the Lord Jesus paid for these sins. He ended all of Satan's rights over us. once and for all. And after Armageddon, then he'll physically take this world and he'll reside down here in Jerusalem. So men today can choose where they will serve. It's called free will. Those who choose Jesus, delivered from the power of Satan. Colossians 1:12-13. Colossians 1:12-13. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So, the cross is the place where Satan was defeated. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus took our nature upon him. He's born like us, he lived like us, but he didn't sin. And through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So when Jesus Christ died on the cross, at that point it seemed as the power of darkness were victorious over him. Now, third day, he arose from the grave. He had a mighty triumph over the Satan and powers of darkness. Literally. The Joyce Myers and Copeland. And those say that Jesus was tormented in hell. Copeland says the same thing. Well, I got news for him. That didn't happen. Because Jesus triumphed. When it says it's finished, it's finished. That's what they say. Copeland does the same thing. He says the same words. That Jesus Christ was punished in hell. They were jumping all over him and so forth. I've never heard nothing in my life like that before. And they keep coming back to these people. She's an Eastern Star. Benny Hinn's a Freemason. Copeland's a serious Freemason. They're actually working with the Pope now. They're Pope to Copeland, Catholics and Charismatics must spiritually unite. As of yesterday, today. The Catholic and Charismatic renewal is the hope of the church. Says who? See what they're doing? Pope Francis called Kenneth Copeland. The Charismatic movement, guess what? Was created by the Illuminati. Oh. All this comes about, man. Satan's been a busy boy, man. I tell you what. He's been a busy, busy boy. But people aren't connecting these dots. They're not understanding what's going on around them. I don't know. What do? When you see it off the side, you see it in the background, and you don't know what to do with it. People don't believe you when you try to tell them. Show them the evidence, they get away from you. You know, you won't even check it out. I tell people to check it out, man. Trust, you know, don't trust me. Find out yourself. If you look up, you can find where Joyce Myers and Copeland said that the demons were jumping all over Jesus and torturing him and all kinds of things. And they get down on it too. Nobody there says a word. They just sit there and listen. believing every word of it. I just don't understand it. Maybe one of these days I might, but I don't understand that. I'd be getting to leave. So there, after that, they thought they were victorious over Jesus. When he rose up, they lost. He appeared on earth for a period of 40 days after that. Multitudes of witnesses. I got a study on that too. All the witnesses and proof that he walked the earth for 40 days. And before he ascended into heaven, he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." They lost all control. Matthew 28:18. The power of darkness was defeated. And so Satan's evil spirits were stripped of their authority. Up to that point, they had authority. Not anymore. This is very significant. After the 40 days, Jesus Christ ascended back into heaven. And he was victor over the powers of darkness. And he made a show of them openly. Colossians 2, verse 15 says that, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Can you imagine what that had been like to see that? He returned to heaven as a mighty victor over Satan and the powers of darkness. He was exalted, Jesus Christ was. He sat on the right hand, which is the greatest honor and power. He is seated on the very throne of heaven, far above the powers of darkness. Ephesians 1, verse 20 and 21. "He, God, raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion." See, the victory of Jesus Christ is our victory too. What Christ did, he did for our, as our representative. We shared in his death to throw the sins on the cross. We shared in his burial to bury him. We shared in his resurrection, born again. And we share also in his victory over Satan, spiritual warfare. You see, God raised Christ up and seated him on his own right hand. He raised him up with him. And the Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 6, "God hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." He's your intercessor. We who are in Christ are seated with him in what position? In that position of power and victory far above all. So what does this mean to you? Would it mean that you share his authority? We've been given authority over all the power of the enemy. He says in Luke 10:19. "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and above all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So to have authority from Jesus Christ means that you have the right to act as his representative. You can speak and act in his name. But that's the scripture, the right scripture. So can you imagine all the churches, cathedrals, synagogues that's using the wrong Bibles? How many of them are acting not in the name of God, but thinking they are? Because they're using a corrupted Bible. And it makes a big difference. And there's a difference, too, between power and authority. You know, a truck has power. A policeman has authority. But back of this policeman is the authority of the city government. And the driver of the truck recognizes this and obeys him. Because the authority behind him. Satan's got power. But Christ has given us authority. And they don't want you to know that, so they keep you down. In all the ways we've talked about already. If you're abiding in Christ, you can speak in his name, and the powers of darkness must obey you. And you're going to need that when the Nephilim appear. You're going to need that if they come to take you. The battle's not over. Satan is a defeated foe, but one day they're going to be cast in the lake of fire at one time. And they'll never cause trouble again. But that's at the end of the 1,000 years. The battle of Gog and Magog. Oh, yeah. Armageddon's before that. Before that, World War II. Second Seal. We got a long ways to go, family. But he's very active. Satan goes about as a roaring lion, tempting and deceiving and destroying. That's what he's going to do. At the end of Armageddon, he'll be chained, and for 1,000 years, he's released again at the end of the 1,000 years to once again tempt, deceive, and destroy. Because those living the 1,000 years will not have had the opportunity to make this choice. He'll be chained the whole 1,000 years, that's why. No child of God is able to in himself to cope with this terrible foe. But only through Jesus can we overcome him. Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So, we're not to be strong in ourselves. We're to be strong in the Lord. Even Michael the archangel said when they were fighting over Moses' body. I never understood that necessarily, but he said, the Lord rebuke you. Even Michael the archangel. Didn't say, I rebuke you, Satan. I'm Michael the Archangel. Stand back. He didn't do that. He said, the Lord rebuke you. God's overcomers. Those who overcame Satan. There's a threefold secret to it. And they overcame him, Satan. By the blood of the Lamb, number one. Number two, by the word of their testimony. And number three, they loved not their lives unto death. Revelation 12, verse 11. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. So, in the blood of the Lamb, Satan is a deceiver. He's a murderer. But one of the main attacks against Christians is accusing them. And man, he's called the accuser of the brethren. He accuses us before God. And Jesus is there as your lawyer. He accuses us in our minds. Supernatural and sometimes technology. He tells us you're no good. But the voice of truth says different. He says to you, you're weak and you're sinful and you'll always be this way. But the voice of truth says something different. So your defense is the blood of the Lamb. Pleading the blood of the Lamb around you in prayer. The word of the testimony. God gave you the blood of the Lamb as your defense against Satan's accusations. Well, he also gave you a weapon to use against Satan himself. The word of a testimony. For it is written. You can declare to Satan the great facts of Christ's victory over him. You say to Satan, you are defeated. Jesus Christ is Lord. And they hate that. Especially the fallen angels. I am one with him. These are great facts, and Satan cannot dispute them. He knows they're true. You know, even Swedenborg, the man who spoke angels, he confirms this too. He wasn't a Christian necessarily. He was a universalist. He created universalism. Annihilation. But he's known as the man who spoke with angels. And more of a philosopher than anything else. When it means the man who spoke with angels, what's he talking about? The fallen angels. He was an avatar. He was channeled by the fallen angels. He was visited like Helena Blavatsky, Alice Bailey, Benjamin Cram. He had contact with them. And so, what he said, that in the 18th century, Swedenborg said, "This I can affirm, that whenever the angels hear anyone say, quote, that God determined the damnation of the human race, and as an enemy was reconciled by his son, they're affected in such a manner similar to those who from an uneasiness in the bowels and stomach are excited to vomiting, on which occasion they say, what can be more insane than to affirm such things to God?" They hate it. He also said that spirits narrate things completely false and lie. When spirits begin to speak to man, care should be taken not to believe them, for most everything they say is made up by them, and they lie, and if man listens and believes, they insist and in various ways deceive and seduce. Now, he wasn't a Christian, but he's telling you what experience he had as being a channeler and overshadowed. "For they love not their lives." You know, if you're to overcome Satan, you must not love yourselves. Self-denial. "But if we love ourselves, we'll be defeated." Glorify myself? No. We don't have to let self rule over us. We were crucified with Christ, that we might no longer live unto ourselves, but unto him. And he died for us. Apostle Paul said, Galatians 2, verse 20. He said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." There you go. Through our death and our burial and resurrection with Christ, being born again, you've been delivered from the power of every enemy. Now, I don't fear death. Of course, when I was in the Marine Corps, I didn't fear it for another reason. I knew that if I went to the Marines and I wanted to go fight, is what I wanted to do. Dumb, but I did. And my acceptance of death was, well, I died in the line of duty. So what? Of course, now it's different. Whole different ball game entirely. See, not only has the Lord Jesus delivered us from the power of our enemy, but the victorious risen Christ himself lives inside us. Everything you think, do, smell, taste, whatever, he knows what's going on. 1 John 4, verse 4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." That's pretty clear. Family, we're at the end. Appreciate y'all coming by. Remind you all that we have our show and our Bible studies. played up in Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey. At highpointradio.net plays us out randomly. And the name is John Kirkler. And his email is highpointradio@yahoo.com. Also, KBLU Radio plays us. We simulcast us. Colorado, KBLU Radio, Blue Raven Network. Monday night, 8 to 10. Only Monday night is revelationradionetwork.org. revelationradionetwork.org, 8 to 10. I have another broadcast there as well. So I appreciate y'all coming by. And we're at the end of the study tonight. And hope you learned something. I did. I always learn something new every time I do something. I think we'll talk about tomorrow night how to live the Christian life. And we'll maybe get into consecration. And see where it takes us. And so, y'all have a good evening. And then I'll be back tomorrow. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 o'clock, for the broadcast. And keep moving right along, just like we always have. So have a good night, and God bless you. This is Watchman for Jesus, signing off.
We're shining up from Him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappear in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Good night. God bless. Signing off.